Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. I had noted when I was invited to come and speak for the occasion of Ryan being gone on vacation that we were going to have Lord's Supper this morning. So I chose this passage as a passage particularly, I think, suited for consideration of the work and ministry of Christ, and particularly as that also applies to the Lord's Supper and to the means of grace that God gives us there as well. So with that in mind, would you listen together with me to God's Word, Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." May God bless the reading of His holy word as we have heard it in our ears this morning and as we consider it together. I want to alert you to the fact that there is an outline for the sermon on the back of your bulletin too. So this will give you an idea of how we want to work through this passage together this morning. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the last couple of months, my family had, I'm not saying this to garner your sympathy, but my family had an occasion to spend some time in the hospital. I had a son who had to have two surgeries, and we spent a lot of time in the hospital with him. And, you know, one of the things that I concluded again, while I was in those hospital settings, was that there are a lot of sick people in hospitals, right? But what that means is there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of grief, and there's a lot of brokenness in hospitals. And that got me to thinking, you know, the church on earth is a lot like a hospital. It's a place where broken, sinful, miserable, depressed, grieving people are to be found in the church. And why? Why would I say that that's where you would find such people? In the church. Because Jesus came to heal sinners. That's what this text says. Jesus came to do that. So you'd expect to find sinners in church. Jesus came to heal the sinners, not the righteous. Jesus' church is a place where mercy and where healing is to be found, in fact, according to the Bible. Can you imagine this scenario that a wounded person would be brought into an emergency room hospital, and the doctor would say, "Get that guy out of here. We do not accept bad, bleeding, dirty people in our emergency room." Probably a criminal. Now, you wouldn't expect somebody to say that in a hospital, would you? Then why would you allow somebody to say that in the church? "We don't accept sinners here. We don't accept broken people here. You've got a past. You've got issues. We'd rather not have your kind around here." The church is a place of Jesus Christ, is a place where the walking wounded find and receive mercy and find and receive the healing of Jesus Christ. Now, that passage that we just looked at here, this passage really vividly pictures Jesus' mission and his ministry in the church and among God's people and as he walked the earth. It's like a snapshot, a deliberate snapshot of Christ's work and ministries, what you have right here, a summary. And might you might even say it's a series of pictures or snapshots. It shows Jesus eating with sinners. It shows Jesus healing or talking about the healing that people need. It talks about him extending mercy. Those are all snapshots of Jesus' ministry. So I want to take a look at that this morning. First of all, the first picture you see when you go through this passage is you see a picture of an illustration of Jesus' ministry in where he's eating with sinners. He's eating with these outcasts. Now I just want to take a moment to back up a moment and look at the context, or remind you of the context leading up to this passage in Matthew 9, after Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, which is chapter 5 and 6 and 7. After Jesus did that, we get this rapid succession. We get a sort of a photo montage of Jesus going out among people healing. He healed a leprous man. He healed the centurion's servant. We hear that he healed Peter's mother-in-law, who was sick and in the house with him. We read that he healed many sick people, just generally. He healed demon-possessed people. And then he healed a paralyzed man. Now, these are real healings. These are not fake healings. These are real, live people who really received the healing of Jesus Christ. And in those passages, we read a number of times that Jesus also forgave people their sins in the context of being healed. See, most of these people we read about were either unclean, which there was a status of God's covenant people in the Old Covenant setting, and Jesus is in the Old Covenant setting here, and they're called unclean. They're not able to come to the temple, and they're not able to come and offer sacrifices. They're not able to enter the worship of God's people because they are unclean because of something that has happened to them, because of something they are doing or have done, people they hang out with or whatever. They're also demon-possessed people. They were also considered unclean, unable to come to the worship of God's people. Then there were notorious sinners, well-known sinners, not just the everyday variety of bad people like us, but really well-known bad sinners who were just, you know, you think, wow, that person's really in bad shape. And these were outcasts of society. Due to their sickness, due to their sin, they were unable to be a part of the worship. They were unable to be in society. Lepers couldn't hang out with other people. They had to go off and be quarantined by themselves. And all of these people are the walking wounded, the spiritually downcast. And what did Jesus do? We get these pictures of Jesus healing, restoring. But now you come to our passage and we see Jesus actually calls one of these notorious sinners, these outcasts, and he calls them and adds them to his inner circle of disciples, the 12. The man's name is Matthew. He's a tax collector. Now, a tax collector in those days is a person who was considered by God's people, the Jews, he's raising taxes for whom? For Caesar, for the Roman Empire. And they were considered traitors to Israel. They were considered traitors to God's people because they're raising taxes. They're taking money from the people of God and they're giving them to their conquering foe, Caesar, who was a dirty idolater on top of it, and a Gentile. And these tax collectors then often charged exorbitant taxes, so that not only did money get to go to Caesar, but they also would keep their cut of it. And they were sometimes cheats, and they were often they were kind of low-life people. And you think about that, and Jesus chose one like that. He deliberately walks up to Matthew at his booth and says, "Follow me." He chose one of those people to be one of his closest disciples. Jesus is not afraid of sinners. Jesus is not afraid to be around sinners. And now out of sheer joy, most commentators argue that when they go into the house there, that scene in the house, most argue that that's Matthew's house. That out of sheer joy and out of sheer gratitude Matthew throws a party, so to speak, and he invites all of his outcast, sinful people that are his friends because they all hang together, right? And he invites them all over his house. And he says, you got to come meet this man. You got to meet this holy, godly man who has called me to come and follow him. You got to meet this man who cared for me. You got to meet this man who cares for somebody like this. And he brings them over to the house. And the passage says that what are these people that are hanging around at the house? It says that they come in, they're tax collectors and sinners, notorious sinners. This is who they are. So no, these are not nice, godly, or nice neighbors like you have around your house in Eden Prairie or wherever you live in Bloomington or so. These are not clean, salt-of-the-earth types of people. These people have baggage. These people are a mess. So then fix this picture in your mind. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is who he is. This is what he does. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he comes to sinners, and he engages in fellowship with them over a meal. He eats with them. He's in the house with them. He talks to them. He heals their broken lives. He shed his blood to save them from their sins. He came to engage the life of people who are hurting and people who are struggling with all kinds of challenges and hurts and wounds and sins in your lives. I don't know what all the sins are in your lives. You know. Jesus came to engage people like us with his ministry of mercy and to restore people like us with a ministry of mercy. It's merciful. We don't deserve it, but he gives it out of his love and compassion for us. That's what Jesus is there doing. Now, the second picture describes Jesus' ministry as one who heals sinners, a healer of sinners. And so you look at verse 12, and what does it say? It says, after he's in the house a while, the Pharisees had come in verse 11, and they were grumbling the disciples. It says, why does your teacher... why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does he do this? And Jesus hears about it. When he heard it, he says, hey, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. What's he saying? He says, I'm a physician. Why do I eat with people who need healing? Because I am a doctor. I'm a healer. That's what I'm here for. A physician who tends to sick people. And that speaks volumes, doesn't it, about who Jesus is and what he came to do? What does the doctor have to do if he's going to help a patient? Well, he has to go sit down in the same room with a sick person and he has to try to help him. He has to go deal with that issue. And who would want a doctor who, instead of coming to meet with you in the room, sits in his office on closed circuit TV and ask you questions while you're sitting at the exam table and, well, you know, forgive me if I don't want to touch you. You're sick. And you have oozing wounds. And, you know, you're not very attractive, quite frankly. I don't really want to touch you, but I'll talk to you from afar. The doctor doesn't come close to patients because he wants to share their sickness. The doctor comes close to sick people because he wants to help them. He wants to be part of their healing. Spiritually sick people need someone who is willing to come to them and who's come into their life and heal them and get next to them and talk to them about their needs. And that's exactly what you see Jesus doing here. Yeah, I said before, there's a picture, isn't it? It's a picture of Jesus healing. But it's a picture of what he came to do for us. He came to us in our need. He comes to us when we couldn't even go to him. We couldn't climb up to heaven and go to the Father's throne physically. Jesus came down and he took to himself the form of a man. And he lived among us and he walked among us. And he healed our diseases. and he talked to us, and he ate with us. And you say, well, I don't see Jesus doing that right now. Wait a minute, we'll come back to that. But Jesus was being criticized. Jesus being criticized for being that kind of a human being. Jesus being criticized for associating with sinners like you and me. That's what's happening. And Jesus says, listen, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. This is why I came down from heaven. He came to save the lost. He came to heal the sick. He came to free the captive, those people who are captives to their own sins and they're in bondage to the sins that you're practicing in your life, the things you're addicted to. He came to deal with those things, people who are in need. He came to give life to the dead, spiritually speaking. But Jesus went to those who were obviously in need, didn't he? He didn't come to the nice, wonderful, clean, righteous people. He went to the outcasts. He went to the sinners. He went to people who knew they were lost or who knew they were in need at the very least. He didn't come to people who were hiding behind the pretense that, hey, you know, I'm already pretty good. I don't even think I need a Savior. This is the problem of the Pharisees. This was the problem of the self-righteous. I'm not so sure I need you. These are people who were looked down on by the Pharisees. These were people who were left out of life because the Pharisees thought they weren't worth their time. And Jesus is in the house with those people. They needed him, and he came to them. And these miraculous healings, they're signs. That's what a healing is. They were a sign. They're a foretaste of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a place where when it comes in its fullness, people will be completely healed of all their diseases. People will be completely blessed and restored. And all sin will be gone in the kingdom of heaven. It's a picture of what Jesus is going to do one day. Among elect sinners, there's going to be a complete and total removal of sin. Healing of mind, of body, and of emotions and souls. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not going to happen on this side of heaven. It's not going to happen wholly. And many of you know that. You're sitting here and you know the wound. Your back has been gone for years. You've got MS. You've got cancer. You've got problems. You know that. The Bible never says you're all going to get healed this side of heaven. But the Bible shows us these signs of healing that Jesus does because he wants you to understand that that's ultimately what he does for all of his people. He will ultimately heal you in mind and in body and in emotions and in your soul. When you associate with Jesus, when you come to Jesus in faith, you're coming to a Savior and you're coming to a physician who loves to save and to bless sinners. And he loves to nurse your spiritual pain. And he loves to bind up your wound, spiritually speaking. And that's a picture of Jesus' ministry today and always. This is what Jesus did. Now you said, hey, I brought up this. You said, wait a minute. I don't see Jesus doing this. I'm not walking with Jesus in those days, so how do I see Jesus doing this? Well, the Bible tells us Jesus does this through his word and spirit. Jesus still does this through the word of God as it's being preached and it's being read and it's being taught, as being hidden in your heart. Jesus is coming through his word and he's nourishing your soul. He's giving it to you like the bread of life. Jesus comes through that with his spirit. And it's like the water of life, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Jesus comes to clean you and to wash you And he does that through the partaking of the Lord's Supper as a means of doing this. And he does it in the prayers of God's people for one another. And he does it in the fellowship that you give to each other as you minister and encourage to one another. There Jesus is in your midst, and there he is working out his blessing in your life. It's Jesus, ultimately, he's doing it, even through people like us. The third picture, final picture. Jesus teaches how sinners are to receive this ministry of mercy, how we're to receive it. You say, that's great. Jesus has it. You say, Jesus can do it. How do I get that? How do I receive that? And if you look at the last verse, you notice, he says, go and learn this. What does this mean? That I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. When Jesus calls you, and when Jesus speaks out his word and says, come, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is he saying to you? He's saying, you come to Jesus. You come, and you come confessing your sin. And you come confessing your weakness. And you come seeking him. And you come to him, the God who sits enthroned in heaven as the triune God. And you come to him, and you say, Jesus, I am one of those broken people who needs healing. I am one of those unrighteous people who need your mercy. I'm not coming to you as one who's made all the perfect sacrifices and done all the things and kept all the laws, and I'm coming here because you love people like me. I'm coming here for mercy, Lord. But your word tells us that you're a God of mercy, and you're a God of compassion. And so how do you receive the ministry of mercy? You come with a repentant heart, open to God, and seeking grace that he has to give, like healing streams that will come to those who seek. Jesus gives this medicine to those who seek forgiveness through him. You need forgiveness of your sin. You're caught up in a cycle of anger and temper. You're caught up in a cycle and the grip of the bondage of some addiction. Pornography or drugs or drinking or something like that. You're suffering and you have pain and you have covetousness or you have sorrow. What do you have? You come to the throne of grace, and what is God? A God of mercy who's ready to give mercy in every time of need. So come and seek that from Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Come to Jesus. Seek it. Ask it. Come to one who has his arms open saying, come to me. I have what you need. You see that in the Lord's Supper. The night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, take it and eat it. Jesus is the host of a table. And he's saying to there, you eat this, my body broken for you. You drink this, this is my cup, the forgiveness of all your sins. Come to me, and I will give you the rest you need. Weak faith, struggling faith, guilt, sorrow. Brothers and sisters, we're called today as believers in the Lord Jesus to come and to be ministered to by him and at his table. And look at that picture. Christ delights in those who seek a relationship with him. But not those who keep their distance. Not those who can't come into the house because they don't want to be defiled by other sinners who are hanging out in there. That's the Pharisees. They're on the outside of the house. They're not going to come in because there's sinners in there. Jesus is inside. He's in there with those other sinners. Jesus delights in the presence of sinners, not because he likes sin. He came to destroy sin. But Jesus delights in the presence of sinners because he came to heal sinners. to cleanse and renew our lives. You know, we often will sing, when we take the Lord's Supper, we'll often sing a song. Come, for the feast is spread. Hark to the call. Come to the living bread offered to all. Come to the house of wine. Lo, on his breast recline. Come, sinner, come. That's biblical language, isn't it? It's acknowledging that you're coming to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, the physician of your souls. Come like Matthew did. Celebrating your discipleship. I was lost and I'm found. The Savior came and called me. And you're celebrating your place in the kingdom of heaven. I come to the table because I'm one of the kingdom of heaven people. And I'm eating bread of the kingdom of God. You come confessing your sin. You come with a repentant heart that longs for forgiveness. You come saying, Lord, renew me. Raise me up. You come with a faith that's reaching out to the physician saying, heal me. Heal me, Lord. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, like Jacob said when he's wrestling with the angel of the Lord. I won't let you go until you bless me. That's what you're doing when you come to the table of the Lord and when you hear the ministry of Christ. You're saying, then bless me, Lord, I come in faith. Do you remember another picture in the Bible, I wonder? Another picture of Jesus' ministry. It's found in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. And in Revelation, chapter 19, I'm going to read it for you. Please follow along. I heard, verse 6, I heard that what seemed to be a voice of great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder. And the voice was crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. And it was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is a picture of our arrival in the eternal state of glory. The church is called the Lamb's wife, the bride. And all the redeemed are sitting around this big table. And they're sitting with Jesus, the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the great day of the beginning of eternal glory and life in it. It's a wonderful scene, isn't it? You know what? There's no more hospital gowns at that table. There's no more sick people sitting around that table. There are no more operating theaters in that table. No more doctors there. The bride is dressed in fine linen, clean and bright. All of her wounds are healed. All the pain is gone. Death is conquered forever. Sin has been removed. Only righteousness remains. Brothers and sisters, we're not there yet, are we? We're not there yet. But it's Jesus' aim to bring you to that land of hope and glory. It's His promise. He will do that, and His love will not let you go until He brings you to that great supper of the Lamb. And so this sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a pledge to you, brothers and sisters, of the unending love of Jesus Christ, and that He will feed and nourish your soul to everlasting life. And He will give you the healing grace that He alone has. He has saved you, and He will keep you forever. So today, brothers and sisters, I call upon you. You put your trust in the hands of this physician of your soul. And you come to this table, and you eat, and you drink, and you receive healing streams of mercy. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you that we may come to you with our sins, with our brokenness, with our pain, with our suffering, with our worries, with our fears, with our anxieties, with our doubts, with our sicknesses. Lord, we come to you with all of these things. And we know that among us, there are many who have all of these things today. We come to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you that you're called a physician. You know how to heal us. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who gives life, because we live in death. We live in the valley of the shadow of death. But you have conquered and broken the power of death and of the grave. And in you there is life. And you have come to give us life and to have it, that we would have it more abundantly. And so, Lord, fill us with your life. And you've come as the one who would pour out your blood to heal, to cleanse. And so, Lord, heal and cleanse us. Lord, we know that nothing is able to keep you from doing all your holy will. For in you is almighty power. So we come in faith and we ask that you will heal us and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.